And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with my guest Robert Felix. He's written a book called Not by Fire, But by Ice, about a coming ice age, which he believes is here, and your phone calls. Robert, why do you believe we're in an ice age right now?
Well, there's things that keep happening that we don't hear about normally, but I'll bet that most of your listeners are not aware that glaciers are growing right now on California's Mount Shasta.
Glaciers are forming there?
They are not forming. They're growing. They've already been there. But there are seven glaciers on Mount Shasta, and all seven of those glaciers are growing. This was published this Sunday in the Seattle Times. It was also published in the L.A. Times. However, they tried to hide it a little bit. The Seattle Times headline said that California glaciers are, quote, altered by climate. That was a headline. And the L.A. Times headline, as near as I can tell, said that California glaciers are melting dramatically.
Yeah, they said it was in a retreat, right?
Yes, in a retreat, retreating dramatically. But the thing is, all seven of Mount Shasta's glaciers are growing, including the three-mile-long Whitney Glacier, which is the state's largest glacier. And three of the glaciers on Mount Shasta have doubled in size since 1950. And we're not being told about it. There's another one. So, you know, if somebody lives around Mount Shasta, they're welcome to call, too, and give us more information about it.
So you're
also, Mount St. Helens. In the crater of Mount St. Helens, the snow is now 600 feet deep, and it is compacting into ice. There's a new glacier forming on Mount St. Helens.
You mean in the crater that exploded years ago? It's now 600 feet deep already?
Yes.
My.
And that, I just learned about that within the last month. So, and there's one other thing that there's a Dr. Theodor Landscheid in Germany at the Schroeder Institute for Research of Cycles. And he has just published this year, he expects us to be going into the Little Ice Age in 2030. Which starts to make my scenario of having it begin by 2012 look very plausible.
All right, let's go to the phones. You ready, Robert?
You bet.
Let's pick it up by going, of course, to our first-time caller line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Aaron from Bozeman, Montana.
Hello, Aaron. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Well, I tell you what. I've noticed. I've been listening to your show and the phenomena regarding Yellowstone, and I've noticed. I'm a paramedic here in Bozeman, and we're often referred to as the Northern Gateway of Yellowstone National Park.
Yes, you are.
We see most of the patients from Yellowstone National Park. They come to Bozeman, and often we intercept those patients. And mostly what I've noticed is myself and my colleagues have noticed an extreme increase in epileptic seizure activity from the locals. Many of these are people who have never had seizures before or unexplainably having seizures. And those who with histories are having them more than often. And I've wondered to myself if this has anything to do with the Yellowstone.
No, that's strange. What are doctors saying about that?
Well, no one's really commenting. Myself, I listen to your show, and I seem like to be a minority of those who have heard about this phenomena. Most of them are in denial around here. And so they're not really commenting. They're just kind of brushing it aside and not making any specific mention of it.
Well, it's one of those situations, Aaron, where people feel as if they stick their heads deep into the sand, the problem goes away. But that's not going to happen in this case.
Yeah, I believe that, too. Well, I haven't noticed any unusual animal behavior activity, and I've been watching it very closely. I personally have four dogs and haven't noticed anything, but... I've been in the emergency medicine business for 18 years, and I've never seen a rash of epileptic seizure activity in a relatively small population. Bozeman has about 30,000, and I've been commenting with my coworkers about it, and we all agree that it's very, very unusual.
That's peculiar. Robert, that is strange, is it not?
That is very strange, and I sure have no explanation. That's... I just can't imagine. The only thing I can wonder about is if anyone is checking on magnetic field strength activity in the area, but that is just a wild guess.
Now, I was going to say the same thing, and you're absolutely right. It is It is a wild guess. That is, it's bizarre. Aaron, thanks for that call and that update. Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
Good.
Great show. I live about 70 miles northeast of the center of Yellowstone Park in Bridger, Montana. And I was curious when you, your guest was remarking that the lava flow, when it exploded, would go 30 miles in the air. How far are they expecting, would it be expected to travel?
300 to 600 miles.
Well, my house is gone.
Yeah, your house is gone. So let's hope we're talking about thousands of years from now.
Oh, well, I live there, and I've noticed, like I say, all of the papers. I go to Yellowstone Park many, many times a year, and they've had a lot of roads closed this year due to the heat on the road. They wouldn't let cars travel down through there.
Are you seeing more now than ever in that area?
Yeah, it is. It's gotten extremely warm in the area. We've seen river flows increase too early, and then decrease because the snow melt's already gone too soon.
Robert,
this is incredible. This is great to have these stories from people who live there. I'm loving this.
These are eyewitnesses.
Yes.
They really are. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, George.
I appreciate it. You know, here in, of course, Las Vegas, in Los Angeles, we all depend now on the Colorado River to get a lot of our water, if not all of it. Mm-hmm. And what happens if there's this catastrophe at Yellowstone? I'm sure it could affect the flow of that as well, wouldn't it?
Well, I think every river practically in the United States will be clogged with ash, even if they're, whether they're coming from Yellowstone or not. You know, if Nebraska ends up with 6 to 7 feet of ash covering the entire state, what does it do to every river? And what happens when it starts raining and that ash starts washing into those rivers? And what happens when that ash starts rolling into the ocean in Los Angeles? It just boggles the mind.
Well, that's when it really becomes severe, because there may be areas where people can hide and stay, but once your water supply goes and obviously the food supply goes, mm-hmm. then you go.
Yeah, I would sure, you know, and I'm not selling food supplies, but I sure do agree with the people that say to have at least a year's supply of food on hand.
West of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Yeah, Bob, you and I spoke before the book Atlas of the Solar System.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Now, it's ironic that you have to be on tonight and you're talking about Yellowstone, because on July 29th of this year, Channel 58, KCLS, aired a program for 2 hours called Secrets of the Dead, and it was titled Catastrophes. And they went back in history to look at what happened around the year 600, all around the world, what changed the geopolitical, everything changed around the world. And it was all attributed to the eruption of Krakatoa. And Krakatoa, they said that, and the graphics were beautiful, the way they showed when it exploded, chunks of rock as big as a house at supersonic speeds, 30 miles up into the atmosphere. People as far away around the world as Mongolia and Yemen, the whole world was changed instantly. Crops were destroyed for 3 to 10 years all around the world. It was unbelievable. Just phenomenal. Floods. Yemen at that time was a very thriving metropolis. It was a crown jewel of the Middle East, and they had irrigation systems and everything. And the floods that were caused, the dams erupted, and the floods kept coming every periodically, you know. So they got tired of building the dams, and since they didn't build the dams anymore, their whole society just fell into plunder and just disappeared. The Avar, who were a group of marauding nomads in central Mongolia, riding horses, phenomenal horsemen, there was no grass for the horses, so they had to migrate, and they migrated westward into Europe and changed the geopolitical and the demographics of Europe for the rest of the, up until now.
Mm-hmm.
That is the devastation that we are looking at. Now, that happened in the year about 600. And if you want to get a copy of that, George, of that program,
mm-hmm.
I would suggest you get it and look at all of the devastation around the world, everywhere.
I know, and that's exactly what we're looking at now. And again, though, Robert, what do we do about it, Mr. Felix?
I don't know. I just to know that it's coming, I think the people who know it's coming at least will have a better chance of surviving. One of the things that I was telling you about, all of that ash that accumulated in Nebraska, and what really, when they really studied it, they discovered that what had killed the animals was breathing the ash. Now, humans, we at least know enough to wear a face mask.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure that would work in this case, would it?
At least the people who are aware of it will know. And so things like that, they may not be big things, but I have a feeling it'll be the little things that make the difference.
You know, and the problem is you might not live close to Yellowstone National Park, so you might feel as if you're protected, but this is a worldwide calamity. This is like an asteroid hitting the planet and creating this effect throughout this entire system.
Yes, there's another study that's come out this year by Gerda Keller in Princeton, who's talking about the dinosaurs' extinction and believing that volcanism had as big an impact on it as an asteroid did, which is, of course, what I've been saying for years, that volcanism is what does it.
Next up, Wildcard Line, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George, Bob. Excellent show, as usual. I just have a quick point that I wanted to make. But, George, you've already hit the nail on the head when you mentioned it may happen 1,000 years from now. My point would be that I believe these things are coming and so forth, but I believe that geologic time is very different from what we perceive as time. And so I just, I would like to hear your comments about, trying to reference or trying to develop a starting point for an idea when this volcano or caldera could ignite, or when this ice age could come relative to our time. It just doesn't seem to me as though it's looming up as anything all too soon, that these things that are going to come to pass, but they may come to pass 1,000 years or 10,000
mm-hmm,
years
mm-hmm.
from now.
Well, with respects to Yellowstone, Robert.
I agree.
What will it take, however, for this to just blow wide open? I mean, what kind of sign will we get? Will we get a 3-year notice or a 5-year notice, or are we getting that notice now?
Scientists don't know, because we've never had a super volcano explode really since the Toba volcano of 75,000 years ago. They guess that it will be great, huge earthquake activity will be the precursor. They don't know. Now, your caller, I agree with him that this could be 1,000 years from now. Now, the ice age, I believe, is much sooner. Ice ages, and that's what I talk about in the book, is that ice ages do return like clockwork at about every 11,500 years. The last one began, was about 11,500 years ago. I believe that we are now headed into an ice age, and that we will be admitting that we are within the next 10 years.
And now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you've said in the past, I believe, that you don't get, for example, a 12-month ice age. What you get are shorter seasons in the summer, correct?
They build up. Now, the ice does not cover the entire world by any means. But Canada, the ice builds up until it's 2 miles thick, and the oceans lower by 350.
What's Chicago going to look like?
Chicago will eventually be covered.
And what do you mean by covered?
Covered with ice.
How?
Totally buried. I don't know. There's no. They measure the ice by having mountains around, because they can see where the ice scraped.
Are you talking about a couple feet or a couple hundred feet?
Oh, more than a couple. Probably, I'm going to guess, 1,000 feet.
1,000 feet.
Probably, yes. Now, for instance, Seattle during the last ice age was covered by 4,000 feet of ice. But here's the thing, is that 150 miles south of Seattle, it was only about 7 degrees colder than it is right now. So the whole world is not going to go into an ice age. There'll be more and more snow, more and more precipitation, and we're seeing that now. Precipitation has increased 20%.
Look, Buffalo last year got an 8-foot snowstorm. What happens if you get a 15-foot snowstorm? People are stuck in their houses for a few weeks. They're out of luck.
Oh, yeah, well, a 15-foot snowstorm is going to bury every trailer truck on the freeway.
If anything, it'll have every roof collapse.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that would be... And I believe that within... That caller that wanted to know about the ice age, the other part about ice ages, and scientists did not know this until the last 15 years, all ice ages in the last 250,000 years began in less than 20 years. And they did it from periods of warmth as warm as today or even warmer, and then bang, 10 years to 20 years, full-fledged ice age.
And this is something you're not backing down on. You believe we are in one now.
I don't know of any geologist in the world who would disagree with that.
Stay with us, not by fire, but by ice. Robert Felix, I want you to be in touch with us, if you would. Your website linked up on coasttocoastam.com. You're always a gracious guest, Robert. We'll have you back on again.
Thank you, George. I appreciate it.
He provides us with information you need to know. In a moment, Steve Quayle and Mr. Dave Flynn as we talk about Cydonia and Mars. So get ready for that as Coast to Coast continues as we go into hyperspace.
Miss part of the show? Listen online with Streamlink. Log on to coasttocoastam.com.